apps can do a lot of cool things. You could order dinner, gamble on your favorite team, and track your health. You could even get a mortgage. One click and you can be approved. I'm not sure by who or what country they're in. You deserve more from the mortgage industry. At AnyMac Home Mortgage, we believe in the need for live human interaction during a very complex process. The kind of service and guidance which an app simply can't provide. Our customers are more than credit scores and income documents. They're individuals and families who live in and strengthen our communities. Their story is our story, and that story begins in a home. Chris Sawyer is an expert on providing superior customer service and in meeting the mortgage needs of current and future home buyers. With over 18 years of experience in the industry, Chris is able to help customers migrate through the home buying and home financing process by using his wealth of knowledge as a well-qualified mortgage professional. And best of all, Chris is located in Cromwell, Connecticut, where he has helped hundreds of clients in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island make their dreams of home ownership a reality. Visit chrissawyer.any-mac.com. Email him at csawyer@any-mac.com or give him a call, 860-878-8730.
Chris Sawyer, NMLS number 39345, corporate NMLS number 338923, AnyMac Home Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender, American Neighborhood Mortgage Acceptance Company, LLC, DBA, AnyMac Home Mortgage, LoFi Direct, Connecticut First Mortgage Correspondent, License Lender, Broker Number, ML338923, Massachusetts Mortgage Lender and Mortgage Broker License Number, MC338923, Rhode Island License Lender, License Number 20112810L. Call for additional details.
Welcome to Sports Talk with RNJ. I am Steve Risser along here with Justin D'Onofrio, and we are at conference tournament time in college basketball, and we will start with the Big East at Madison Square Garden. There's a reason we're doing this show today and not tomorrow. That's because Justin will be at the Big East tournament tomorrow for the three games. I mean, there's one pretty interesting game between Providence and Georgetown. You got Xavier and Butler, and then you got Villanova pretty much playing a Division III school in DePaul. So,
DePaul. Poor DePaul.
Well, yeah, I know.
They distract the world tomorrow night.
That would be crazy if they do. That would be crazy if they do. But the big question going into this tournament, though, and UConn has been to the semifinals 3 years in a row. They've never gotten to the Big East finals since they've gotten back into the Big East. But the big question is are they the heavy favorite? Should they be the heavy favorite to win it? And I'm going to say no, because if you look at what they did against the top four teams in the conference, they lost by 15 at Seton Hall, even though Cligon got hurt in that game. They lost by 19 at Creighton. And then they beat Marquette at Marquette, but if Tyler Kolek plays, they probably lose that game too. So I think they are the favorite, but not the heavy favorite to win it.
I think they are. I
really
think right now. Yeah, I know St. John's gave you the toughest battle at home this year. I know St. John's starting to play well. They ran them out of the gym the last time they played at the Garden. To me, go down, 19-2 Saturday night against Providence, and then just literally outscoring the rest of that 40-9 at a place that they don't usually lose at home, in a game that meant nothing to them. I think they're really kind of peaking right now at the right time. The way they beat Seton Hall at home by 30. That Marquette game on the road, yeah, they let Marquette back into it. The final kind of 5 minutes, their offense really just took their foot off the gas, and you know, Marquette was able to get back into it. And then you saw Creighton got out to a great start against Villanova on Saturday. But then the minute Nova started to play physical with them, Creighton kind of folded, and Creighton was able to hold on, hit a game-winning shot. And you kind of can play physical with Creighton like they did the first time around, and I don't think Creighton's shooting 60% from three again against you. They do. You know, they lose in the finals, but I'm kind of confident they won't. So I kind of like UConn's draw, and I really think Hurley and this group want both titles. Hurley's wired a lot differently than most people. And I, you know, they always carry that Big East. The last of the posters they got to carry around now is the Big East tournament trophy one. So I think they finally get that one knocked off up on Saturday.
Now, say UConn matches up with St. John's in the semifinals, and you've been probably following this new Big East more than I have, because I kind of lost interest a little bit when UConn wasn't in it, and then I got back into it. But would this be the biggest game in this version of the Big East history if UConn with Pitino at kind of pretty much at home faces but St. John's and Pitino pretty much at home faces UConn, the defending national champs, in the semifinal? If it's UConn St. John's Friday night, would this be the biggest game in this configuration of the Big East?
I believe it would. I'll be honest with you. I actually did not watch the after UConn left too. I was too upset when UConn got down. It was so bad. I was jealous. I couldn't watch much of the Big East. It just, you know, that brought, you know, it wasn't, you know, missed the conference. But to answer your question, yes, because Nova Providence was a championship in 1 year. Because most years it's been like Creighton. Like, Creighton's been the championship.
Yeah, and it was a lot of Nova, Seton Hall.
Yeah.
I think Nova Providence, UConn was the biggest one in 2022 when they played in the semifinals.
Yeah. I think
this one would be it because you have Rick Pitino. You have a legendary coach in St. John's. And you got the storyline of him calling out the team. Mm-hmm. And then winning five in a row. And it looked like they were way out of the tournament, but now they're looking like if they beat Seton Hall, they'll make the tournament. But yeah, I think if you get UConn, St. John's, I think this is the biggest game. It would be the biggest Big East game since the 2013, which I was at this game, the 2013 semifinals between, you probably remember, between Syracuse and Georgetown. Back when Syracuse had Michael Carter Williams and Georgetown had Otto Porter.
Yep. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. They used to play, it was kind of fitting those two ended it with that game. But that probably since that'd be the biggest game in 11 years for the Big East tournament. Because Creighton does bring a lot of people. Like they do have a great base of travels. But yeah, like St. John's, like their fans have been kind of waiting to come out of the woodwork for this. They played Marquette last year at noon. They had a decent crowd, but like all the UConn fans are cheering for St. John's, of course, in that game.
Oh yeah,
and Providence fans. But like, so it was mostly, I think, kind of UConn, Providence fans more than St. John's fans. But yeah, I think it would be the big game of the decade. Yeah, you got Pitino, you got St. John's, the team that's playing really well. You kind of got that Hurley Pitino rivalry now with kind of what Pitino.
Yeah, because if it's like Seton Hall and UConn, you don't have as much of a rivalry because Hurley played for Seton Hall.
Yeah, it's been fairly strong at his alma mater. He's had they've clipped us. Yeah. This is finally looked like they turned the corner there last Sunday. Seton Hall usually brings some folks too, but I don't think it'd be as big as a St. John's UConn game. Yeah, with Pitino. Luckily too, he can't pull out the white suit because they'll have to wear the red.
They'll have to wear the red, so, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I think UConn St. John would be the biggest one in a while.
All righty, now we get into the Big East tournament. I think the first question is we know that Marquette and Creighton and UConn are the favorites to win it. But who is the sleeper team that can make a run, that could win this tournament? And for me, it was pretty easy, and it's pretty obvious, and it's a pretty popular team, and it's St. John's. They've won five straight. They're going to be at home. I think they are, and then we have Rick Pitino. I think they're the sleeper team to win the Big East. Who's your sleeper team to win the Big East?
I'm taking Nova.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Nova. They showed Justin Moore Saturday on the bench after Crane hit that game winner. He had
Is Colin going to play on Thursday night for Marquette?
He was shooting around, I heard, before the game Saturday. So I think that he gives it a go, but I wonder how much he plays. Because for Marquette, they got to get to a second weekend. Like, it's one of those things where Shaq is not in the hot seat or anything, but if he can't get this team to a second weekend, it's kind of going to be disappointing because they did win the Big East Conference and regular season tournament last year. I know Shaq is probably not going to just, like, sit on it and just kind of roll over, you know, not try, but they got to get to a second weekend. So, like, I think if he's not 100%, they kind of, you know, he doesn't play 35 minutes, But I do expect him to play. Going back, Justin Moore, he's been playing really well. And he just had the look of his face. Like, he knows he's got to go win this thing. He's got to go win this tournament to get to the big dance. Like, I don't think he wants to end his career playing in NIT. Justin Moore is good enough to put a team on his back for four games. Brandon Hodges has really come on the last couple weeks as well as a shooter. I think Nova finally figured out that they should be running some things through him. It took Neptune a while, but they figured out. And Eric Dixon is a tough matchup because he could play, because he could kind of bring big guys out and shoot the three ball. So, and TJ Bombo is a guy from the Bronx. I just always have that feel. You got guys from that area. They get to play in the Garden. You know, there's a little extra kind of motivation there. So I'm going to take Nova. They got tons of talent and, I think Justin Moore, man, the look on his face kind of told me everything I need to know. He's not, he's going to do everything he can this week to will that team to victory.
Yeah. I can see that team making a run. And now leads me to my next point. The bubble team that needs to make a run in this tournament, and that's Villanova. Villanova to me has to make a run. They'll play anyone on when they that's a layup on Wednesday night against DePaul. And then they gotta beat Marquette. If they don't beat Marquette, they don't make the tournament. So they have to win the game, especially if Tyler Colick's out. They have to beat Marquette to make the tournament. So for me, Nova's the bubble team has to make a run.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Because I took Nova as my sleeper. I took Providence. They had their opportunity last Saturday against UConn. They started out strong. Did not finish well. They got Georgetown. Georgetown played St. John's very tough on Saturday.
And they could lose that game. Cooley's going to be ready to go.
Oh, I expect Cooley to. Cooley would love to make sure that they can not go to any, you know, go to, you know, make sure, yeah, that you could get them to another, you know, make sure Providence is, secures another NIT bid if he can knock them off. So, you know, it would be a tough matchup against Korean for Providence, but if, you know, I wonder what they're going to have for a fan base there, Providence, after the other day. But Providence got them this year at home in overtime. But look, you know, Devin Carter, man, he's one of the best two-way guards in the country. You know, and he could hit tough shots with the best of them. Josh Adoro's played pretty well. They need like a Tiga Gaines or Jaden Pierre to kind of step up, knock down some shots for him. But if they do, Providence is going to have a good contingent there. Providence is going to have to win a couple games, probably get to Saturday to get any chance of at large.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they got to at least get to the final to have any shot to get to the tournament. But what is your prediction for the tournament? Mine is UConn winning their first Big East title over Creighton.
Yeah, I got UConn over Creighton. Be Creighton fifth time in the finals. And, yeah, I got UConn knocking them off again and Creighton not being able to finish again in a Big East conference championship game. I think UConn gets revenge for what happened a couple of weeks ago. I think this is the year for them, and you know, I think this is the year in the Garden. They gotta win it this year. They gotta. Their yes. First team in Big East history won 18 get conference games.
Yep.
You know, even not even that. I know it's since they changed it. You know, they used to play 18, but even that Nova team in 18 didn't. They had 16, I believe. So that Nova team was, one of the best teams that we've seen in a while.
Yeah. They got it. This is their tournament to lose. They got to win this Big East tournament. But we'll move on to the Big 12 tournament, Kansas is in big trouble without McCullers and without Dickinson, so they're in big trouble going into it. Houston looks like obviously the favorite to win this tournament. But this is a very deep league with Texas, with BYU, with Texas Tech, with Baylor, with even your guys' team, Oklahoma. With Porter Moser's team, Oklahoma. But the big question going in is who is the sleeper to win this tournament? And I'm going to go with the defending champs. I'm going to go with Texas because they still have Dessou and they got Max Asemus. They can go on a run. Those two guys get hot. That they are my sleeper too. And I don't think Iowa State is the number two seed is that great of a team. They lack some size. So I'm going to say Texas is my team, my sleeper to win the Big 12.
Texas is a good one. They got all the talent in the world. You know, they haven't put it together totally for 40 minutes in a lot of games. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. I got BYU. I think their defense is decent enough. They haven't been great away from Provo, but they have seven guys that can that average 9 points a game.
They went into Kansas and won, and they almost won at Iowa State.
Yeah, they did. You know, they could shoot the basketball. They played Houston really tight at home this year. You know, Houston just lost another depth guy. Like, they're down three guys now that kind of come off their bench. So they're down like 7-8 guys that they play now. So I think Houston's still really elite, and they're right there. I think it's UConn, Houston, and then Purdue. But, you know, I think BYU, if they can knock down shots against Houston, they're going to be really tough to beat. They're a team next week filling out your brackets. Wouldn't be shocked to see them get to a second weekend even further. I just BYU's got a ton of offensive talent. They're a veteran group of guys, and they got a bunch of guys that can kind of just beat you. So even off the bench, so I think I would not be shocked to see Purdue or BYU make a run this week in Big 12 tournament.
Which bubble team has to make a run? Now that's a hard question because there really isn't really a bubble team in the Big 12. But if I had to pick one, it would be TCU because I feel like if TCU wins, they against Oklahoma. They're in the tournament, so I pick TCU.
Yeah, I'm with you with TCU because they had one of the worst non-conference schedules in the country. Like their best out of conference win right now. They should have lost to Georgetown. Like they got lucky that the ref missed the dude stepping out of bounds. Like that might be their best out of conference win. Arizona State, it is. That's not saying much. So if they lose, TCU should not. If Oklahoma beats them, they should not be in the tournament. Like I'd have them out. I won't go on my 10-minute rant about how bad the net is this year and how broken it is, and a lot of Big 12 teams and coaches have cheated the system. But
oh really?
Yeah, TCU
really?
For me. Oh yeah, with their non-conf schedules, it's I won't rant about it because I'll go on for that for 5-10 minutes. But I think TCU's got to beat Oklahoma. Then maybe somehow, if they beat Oklahoma, I think they're in. But if they lose, they should really be sitting outside the bubble because they just – and non-con, they didn't really do much to help themselves. And, yes, it's a Big 12, but, they didn't do anything outside of non-con play. So the 20 wins to me because they didn't play anybody. So TCU's good. They got a lot of – they got offensive firepower. Their defense is not very good, though. So Oklahoma, they could score, Kevin Moore's done a nice job this year. I know there's a lot of DePaul rumors going around. I know he tried last night to kind of say those rumors aren't true, but I don't totally buy it, but we'll see. So we'll see if Oklahoma kind of ignores what's going on there. But, yeah, TCU's got to win at least Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they definitely got to win on Wednesday, or their tournament hopes could be in jeopardy. For the championship, my prediction is going to be Baylor over Houston. I like Baylor's two guards with Dennis and Walter, and I think they have a little bit more of a better inside game in Houston. That's why I got Baylor, and for that rematch of a couple weeks ago when they had that really good game. But I got Baylor beating Houston in the final.
Yeah, I got Baylor as well, but I'm going to take BYU.
Wow. Yeah, BYU yeah, go to the final.
Yeah, I think Cheyenne, Houston, I think they knock them off. I think for Houston, they're another team that's got to make a run. Be the second consecutive game. They play Friday against BYU, and I think by BYU the way they could shoot could knock off Houston. And Baylor, yeah, Baylor BYU would be a high scoring game with those two. But yeah, I think Walters, Ray J. Dennis, and then I like their big guy, Messi. He's kind of big physical guy. He's a freshman 5-star. I think he makes a difference in that one. I think Baylor wins the Big 12 title.
Yeah, I definitely could see. I have Baylor winning it. BYU, you like them. They're making that run. So we'll see what happens there. But we'll move to the ACC in action. Yeah, the Big 12 action starts today, but ACC tournament action starts today as well. And the big question going into this is there any way we don't get Duke Carolina in the final? Is there really any way? I think the only team that might be able to break that up is Clemson. So, but I don't think we're getting Duke. I think it's pretty much certain that we're getting Duke Carolina on Saturday night.
Yeah, I believe we're going to get another round of this of that rivalry. But yeah, I Clemson can. Joe Girard, he's played pretty well, especially offensively. If he can get hot from behind the arc, and then PJ Hall is one of the most underrated centers in the country. He averaged 18 a game. He's been banged up the last couple of years, but this year I think he's played in pretty much every game. He's good enough as well to go on a run here. Yeah, because I know we'll talk about the in and out stuff. You'll get my prediction, but Virginia, they can't score. Like they're not beating Duke, even. They're just not. So yeah, Clemson's the only team I think got a chance. Maybe Pitt with Blake Henson, maybe, but North Carolina would be a tough out for him. Like if they were on the other side of the bracket, I'd say yes, but it'd be tougher to knock off North Carolina.
So who is your sleeper team? Who is your sleeper team in this? For me, it's pretty obvious it's Clemson. The way with the teams, they went to North Carolina and won this year. They beat Alabama. It'll be Alabama and North Carolina. They beat South Carolina. I'm taking Clemson. And even they beat TCU too, who's a team that very easily can make the tournament. So Clemson is my sleeper team.
Yeah, me too. They didn't play well down the stretch, especially on the road at Notre Dame and Wake Forest. They're not great losses, but yeah, I think they got the talent. Brad Burnell, they got the hot start last year, really showed on the down the stretch. They kind of didn't finish great, but better than they did last year. And yeah, I just think with a healthy PJ Hall, Joe Girard, I think those two could kind of put Clemson on the back and, you know, get them a title. I don't think Clemson's ever won the ACC title. I'm just off the top of my head. I don't remember them ever really winning one. So maybe might be their first one. So I think this is the year they could do it.
Yeah, they very easily could. And the bubble team needs to make a run. You probably could say two teams. It's probably going to be the teams that are going to be playing on Thursday, Pitt and Wake Forest. I'm going to take Wake Forest. Wake Forest, I think, needs to win. They obviously have to beat Pitt, and I think they have to beat North Carolina in the semifinals if they want to have, if they want to get to the tournament. So I think Wake Forest is my team. My bubble team needs to make a run.
Yeah, mine as well. They don't have a ton of meat on that. They only have two quad one wins. That's Florida and Duke. Like they got some work to do. They lost a couple bad ones on the stretch. It's Notre Dame and Virginia Tech. So yeah, they got some work to do. They got to win. You know, they got to obviously knock off Notre Dame, Georgia Tech winner. They're going to have to knock off Pitt. They're probably going to have to even knock off North Carolina. I think they're going to need another big one. So they're going to need probably get to the finals to really secure their bid. So they weren't playing well down the stretch. We'll see. Hunter Salas is good enough. The Gonzaga transfer to really put them on their back as a scoring guard. We'll see if they can do it. But yeah, that's my team as well.
Moving on to the SEC tournament. And in this tournament, we know Tennessee's been great. Kentucky's been playing really well. Alabama. And then you got Bruce Pearl and Auburn. But outside of those teams, who is your sleeper that can make a run in this tournament? And for me, it was pretty easy. It's Florida. They won at Kentucky. They won again at Kentucky. They beat Alabama by almost 20 points, and they beat Auburn. To me, Florida is my sleeper in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, that would have been mine up until Saturday. They took a bad loss at Vandy, and I'm kind of off them now.
Got South Carolina. With Messi Johnson.
Yep. They split with Tennessee. They got Kentucky this year. Bama did beat them pretty good, but that was back in December. The way they play the half court, you know, they could get Kentucky and Alabama in those kind of, you know, where they're not great in half court games because South Carolina could win those games because of the way they defend. So I could really see South Carolina. Lamont Paris has done an unbelievable job. They were picked 14th of the conference. He's another one that's going to be running for coach of the year. I don't think he's going to get it, but he's another one done a tremendous job. And I don't know if South Carolina has signed an extension. I know they've been talking because he is an Ohio guy. So I don't, you know, might be some ties there. You know, that's the Ohio State job is open right now.
So who is the team on the bubble that needs to make a run? I think it's pretty obvious. It's Texas A&M. They definitely have to beat Ole Miss, and I think they got to beat Kentucky if they are going to be able to be – if they're going to get into the tournament.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, Wade Taylor, the guard, only shooting 3% from three this year, you know, but he's a guy who's averaged 18 a game who could go on a run, hit a lot of tough shots. He'll take some bad ones, but yeah, A&M, they got to put themselves back in the conversation. They have 13 losses. I don't think that's good enough. So yeah, you're going to have to beat Ole Miss, which they did on Saturday. And then, yeah, if they can knock off Kentucky, which they did in double overtime, I believe, this year, they did knock them off in College Station. So they need to get them again and get to the semifinals to feel good about themselves heading into Selection Sunday.
Oh, now going to the predictions, we forgot to predict the ACC. Obviously, it's Duke over North Carolina for me. No. North Carolina over Duke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, same thing. North Carolina over Duke. I should have known better about everything I've said about Duke this year. That was very classless by Duke on Saturday night, but no shock there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not a great performance from Duke. Proved they were not a top team. But heading back to the SEC, my prediction is I'm going with Tennessee over Alabama. I think John Calipari's done a good job, but I think Alabama knocks him off in the semifinals. I think I'm going Tennessee over Bama. Tennessee's got the best player in the conference in Dalton Knecht.
Yeah, back in November we were talking. I said Dalton Knecht could be the guy that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knew who Dalton Knecht was back in November, because we were talking about the Maui. I think they were talking about the Maui and
yeah.
Dalton Knecht. No one knew who Dalton Knecht was. Now everyone knows who Dalton Knecht. Now a lot of people know who Dalton Knecht is.
Yeah, yeah. I've been watching this since North Colorado days. Guy's fun to watch. He can put this team on his back. And if they win this thing, they're the fourth number one seed. They're going out west. I got them over Alabama, or I don't know, Kentucky or Alabama. Those two are two wild ones. I'll go Kentucky, but yeah, you know, because of Reed Sheppard, they're good enough. But yeah, I got Tennessee winning this thing. And the rubber match there, they just played Saturday as well, like Duke, North Carolina. I love this Tennessee team, and yeah, I might actually take Tennessee in one of my brackets to win the whole thing, which is crazy because I never picked Rick Barnes, but Dalton Connect's good enough to win, to be better than Rick Barnes to mess him up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is one of those Rick Barnes. I think Rick Barnes will get to his first Final Four in 20 years, over 20 years, because he has Dalton Connect. I think that's the big thing that's going to help Rick Barnes there. Moving on to the Big Ten tournament, we got obviously the favorites are Purdue and Illinois. They're pretty much the clear favorites. But who would be the sleeper team? And for me, it'd be Nebraska. It's the number three seed Nebraska, because they actually beat Purdue earlier in the year, and they took Illinois to overtime. So I'm going to go with Nebraska as my sleeper team in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, I like that one. Toga Naga is really good. Nebraska's, they've had an awesome year. Fran Hoiberg's done a wonderful job with that team this year. I would not be shocked to see them, especially the way Illinois plays defense. I could see Nebraska knocking down some shots against them. And then for me, I got Ohio State. I love the way they've been playing since Jake Debo's took over. They've won 5 of 6, and the difference has been the defensive.
They beat Purdue. They beat Purdue when he took over. They did. And they beat Michigan. Did they beat Michigan State at the buzzer when he took over too? Was that him too?
Yeah. Yep.
And is he related to the? Are they related to the other Diebler that played for Ohio State?
I don't know. He might be. I'd have to look that up. He might be. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not. Yeah, you know, they've won a couple. They've won 5 of 6. And it's a defensive pressure. Like they did. You mentioned that Purdue game. They did an awesome job against Braden Smith. They locked him down tremendously. The defense is just playing so well, and they got some guards and Ronnie Gale, Thornton's really good as well. So I like the way Ohio State's playing. Illinois's defense issues. He's 177 since February. Like, you know, wouldn't be shocked. Ohio State went on a run last year and I think got to the semifinals as like a 9-10 seed as well. So wouldn't be shocked to see the Buckeyes make a run here. And, you know, I don't think they're giving them the job, because you've seen that mistake Texas is kind of going through right now with Roddy Terry, but I would not be shocked to see Buckeyes go on a run here.
Who is the bubble team that needs to make a run? I think it's pretty obvious it's Iowa. They play Ohio State in the first round. So I think they got to beat Ohio State, and then they got to upset Illinois. I think those two things have happened for them to get into the tournament.
So does it surprise you, because I'm going off of my bracketology? I have Michigan State needing to go on a run. I do not have them in the 8-9. Yeah, I have them in the first 4 out.
Lenardi has them well into the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know why. Look at Butler's and Michigan State's resumes. Butler has a better resume than Michigan State. That's what I'm going off of.
Yeah, Joe Lenardi doesn't even – I don't think Butler's on Joe Lenardi's radar.
They're not. Nobody's got Butler on their radar. But everyone's got Michigan State in the 8-9 game. But I don't. I have Michigan State out of the tournament right now. One of the first 4 out right now. They're 18-13. Yes, I don't care about their net. Like, that's another one. But they've lost 4 or 5 here. I think they need a big win. Like, they don't have many big non-conference wins besides Baylor. You know, they got Illinois, but I think they got to go on a run here, knock off Purdue, for me to be in my field. I know they're kind of mostly, but I was a good one too, because yeah, they need to go on a run. They've been playing well lately, but for me, Michigan State, because 18-13, I don't being 5 wins over .500 is not great for me. I don't like you to put teams like that record in a tournament, so. Especially over teams like we'll get to in Indiana State, but I despise like the Dukes, the North Carolinas, the Michigan States of the world. So I don't like the brand recognition there. I think is why they're sitting on the 8-9 seed line in a lot of bracketologies right now, but not mine.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there. And the finals prediction, I'm just going to go with the top 2 seeds. I'm going Purdue over Illinois in the final.
Yeah, I'm going I got Purdue over Nebraska. I hate taking another 1 seed, but I don't love a lot of these teams in the Big Ten. It's not a great league this year. And I think the way Lawyer and Smith have played this year. And one tidbit for next week, I saw this morning. The winner of the Big Ten championship game has not gotten the second weekend since 2019. So, you know, that late ending Sunday night right into Selection Sunday doesn't usually benefit the champion. So something to keep your eyes on for next week, filling out a bracket.
Yeah, definitely. That is definitely something to keep in mind. But we will talk about the last conference. That is the Pac-12, and that's clearly the worst conference of the Power Six conferences. And honestly, I gave up with trying to even look for a bubble team. I gave up on that one. But I'll pick a sleeper, and it's Colorado to me. I know Washington State and Arizona are the favorites, but to me, it's Colorado. To me, it's Colorado is the bubble team. They got some talent for being. Got some NBA guys for. They got some NBA guys in that team. So I'll take Colorado as my sleeper team in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I got Utah. They just got swept by the Oregon schools. They got some work to do now in this tournament as a six seed. I love Brandon Carlson. Dude just went up for 40 last week against Oregon State. Another big guy that doesn't really get talked about. He's a 37% three-point shooter. He does it all for Utah, and they got Gabe Batson. They're the six seed. They're going to have to knock off Colorado, as you just mentioned. That's another team that's kind of on the bubble right now, kind of looking in. Probably need a victory here. Getting Washington State two in the semis would be huge for them. I like this Utah team. They really hurt themselves here down the stretch, and if they can win a couple this week in Vegas, could really put themselves back into the picture.
Yeah. Ben, who is your bubble team in the Pac-12?
Oh, that was my bubble team. Sorry.
Who's the team? Who's your sleeper?
USC.
I got you. Oh, I thought Bronny James's team. They upset Arizona.
Yeah, that was not a fluke. USC was a better team in that game. They beat them down, and Boogie Ellis has been on fire. He's really starting to come on. Isaiah Collier, the number one overall recruit, before his injury, he looked lost and really was trying to figure some things out. But since he's come back from injury, he's playing really, really well. Again, USC had a lot of talent going this year. Andy Enfield, sounds like he's going to get another year next year. And this team's really starting to play well down the stretch. I really think USC could win this thing this week, and the way they're playing, and they could be a big bid sealer for somebody. Really knock somebody out of the tournament this week. I really think they got a legit shot to win this thing.
Thursday night could get a match. Thursday, I think it'd be like mid afternoon. We get a match.
Six o'clock, I think.
6 o'clock. But the problem is that game. No one will see that game because it'll be on Pac-12 Network.
It's 3 o'clock. But yeah, it's on the Pac-12 Network. You can't watch. They're not on FS1 until Thursday night at 11:30.
Wow. No wonder.
That's why they're going away.
No wonder they're going away. That's exactly why they are going away. But Selection Sunday is
they want to pick the winner.
Pick the winner. I got to pick the winner first. And I always have to pick the winner of the conference. But I'll take Arizona. I'll go chalk again. Arizona over Washington State. I think Arizona finally beats Washington State this year.
Yeah, Kyle Smith's on. He's another one, Coach of the Year candidate. I told you, USC beats Colorado.
USC winning the go. Yep. Wow, that's crazy. That is crazy.
Really like to see.
You got USC and Andy Enfield winning the Pac-12. Team is the number 9 seed in the Pac-12. So you got Bronny James getting the trophy in Vegas on Saturday.
They're playing well.
All right, I got you.
They got three NBA fathers on this team. They got Rodman, and then they got he's on UCLA Horner's kid. I was thinking, but they got Rodman's kid as well. But yeah. Yeah, I'll take take USC to figure. Boogie Ellis leads them the victory here.
Wow! So Selection Sunday is only 5 days away, but Justin and I will tell us who we think is in or out of the tournament. But before we do that, we are going to hear from our friends at JPEG Financial and Shamrock Home Inspections.
Do you have a 401k and some savings for future retirement, but don't even know if it's enough to live off of? How much is enough? How often are you thinking about it? The team at JPEX Financial Group can help set your mind at ease. We specialize in creating strategies in the planning and managing of your financial, educational, and investment needs. We help clients pursue their investment goals with sound financial strategies. You deserve a personal, tailored plan. Lasting, meaningful, and open relationships are the foundation of our practice. You've worked hard for your money and should feel confident in your investment choices as you make decisions for your financial future. Your goals are our goals. We are dedicated to your needs and hopes for your future. Visit our website and give us a call at 860-430-5397. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. JPEX Financial Group, LLC is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. JPEX Financial Group is located at 78 Eastern Boulevard, Glastonbury, Connecticut.
There's no bigger investment than home ownership. And to make sure the house is up to your standards, you need a professional to look it over. Brian Flanagan from Shamrock Home Inspections is a licensed home inspector and a member of the Connecticut Association of Home Inspectors. Brian was a contractor for over 15 years, so he knows how homes should be constructed and how mechanicals should work.
What makes me a good home inspector was the 20 years that I was a home improvement person, doing all the different repairs that I have done and what other people have done wrong that I had to go out and fix. So I have a pretty quick eye on seeing what's right and what's wrong. Before you move, call Shamrock Home Inspections.
Before you make the biggest investment of your life, call Brian Flanagan from Shamrock Home Inspections at 860-268-2566 or visit shamrockhomeinspectionct.com.
All righty, with Selection Sunday being 5 days away, Justin and I are going to play a game in or out of which teams we think we'll pick 10. I picked 10 teams. We'll see which teams should be in or out of the tournament. And we're going to start in the Big East. We're going to start with Seton Hall, 20-11, 13-7 in the Big East. Justin, Seton Hall, in or out? Pretty obvious one.
Yeah, last four in without a bye. Yeah, they got the 20 wins. They're 5-7 in the Q1, 4-3 in the Quad 2. The USC and Iowa losses did not look great a month ago, but the way both teams are playing, that's because I think before those were both Q3s, now they're both kind of Q2s, which is better. And again, there's not too many teams in the country that have wins against UConn and Marquette. I think that's a bonus. They could win Thursday. They're locked in without having to go to Dayton. If they lose Thursday, you might have to go to Dayton depending on what else they excel. But I think right now they're pretty good shape to make the tournament.
Yeah, if they win Thursday, they're definitely in. They're definitely in if they win Thursday. You say their wins again at home against UConn, at home against Marquette, and then almost beating Creighton too. They went to triple overtime with Creighton. Too. So I am saying that Seton Hall is in. I definitely have Seton Hall in. Next Big East team. It's gonna be another Big East team that's next. Villanova, 17-14 overall, 10-10 in the Big East. Justin, Villanova right now in or out?
I have them out. 17-14, that's just not good enough. You know, that's, you know, they got such a weird resume. Like, they're 4-10 against Q1, 5-2 in Q2s, but the three Q3 losses, you know, you lost all the Philly schools. You know, they're I said the Philly Six, they're the worst team this year, you know, like, it record wise against each other. Like, it's a confusing resume, but like the 17-14, I kind of talk about Michigan State. That's just not, you can't be over 500. You can't be just barely over 500. You can't. They got to win the Big East tournament to get in for me.
Yeah. Oh, I think they're out. I think they have to at least win on Thursday night, and they probably may have to win on Friday to get in for me. Yeah. I think they get to the tournament, they're in. But for me, right now, they're definitely out. Interesting one here. Indiana State. They lost the Missouri Valley Conference Championship game to Drake, but 28-6 overall, 17-3 in the Missouri Conference Valley. And in the Missouri Valley Conference, Justin, Indiana State in or out?
I have them last four in. You know, for me, I don't know if you watched that game Sunday, but you're telling me that's not a tournament team. You know, that's a Drake team that should have beat Miami last year. We went to the Final Four. You know, they played Alabama, but their best player was hurt. You know, Robbie Avila, one of my favorite guys in the entire country. You know, Jason Kent, who's one of their best kind of wing guys, he missed the game in half. They went 0-2 of those games. The Michigan State game they lost, Robbie Avila got a foul trouble. A couple of horrendous calls went against him. He played 15 minutes. You know, like, and the thing is, James Madison would have, if they lost last night, they would have been out of the tournament. Indiana State did not get opportunities to play 15 Q1 and Q2s. They got their opportunity. Nobody wants to play them. You know, that's the unfortunate thing. Their net's 29. They're in. I'd rather see them in. Then we'll get to that team later. That you're telling me that's not a tournament. That team put up 80 points. That was a heck of a game Sunday. That's a tournament team. You know, I look a lot in eye test this year because the net, Michigan State's net's 25. That's ridiculous. That's not a top 25 team by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm looking at eye test. That's a tournament team.
I say out because they lost three games in the Missouri Valley. They didn't win the Missouri Valley. They lost three games in it. So I say out.
One of the best players was hurt during the two losses.
I get it. You're swaying me, but I'm still going to go out.
Okay. Well, I know we're going to get to this team. This ain't like I look too. Can this team advance and go on a run? Yes. Later on, Virginia. Do you think that team could beat somebody? Not the way they play. No.
And we're actually speaking of Virginia. They're the next team. Virginia 22-9, 13-7 in the ACC. In or out for Virginia?
I have them first four out. Another eye test. Wow. You know, you got blown out by Duke. You got blown out by Wisconsin. I know you only lost by 10 to North Carolina at home, but you lost by 40 against Virginia Tech. I love Tony Bennett. Don't get me wrong. He's one of the best coaches in the sport. But looking at an eye test, does anybody want to see that team in the tournament? Seriously. They put 40 points a game. Like, you go through some of the tournament teams. Like, they beat Florida. They got a nice win at Texas A&M. But, like, Memphis blew them out. Notre Dame blew them out. You know, Wake Forest blew them out. It's they don't have a ton of wins against tournament teams. And, I love Bennett, but I don't think this team did enough. And they weren't competitive in some of the games they played against a tournament team. So, I have them first four out. They got some work to do this week, I think, in the ACC tournament.
To me, they're still a top three team in a Power Six conference. That's why I got
that stretch. Power Six. That's a mid-major conference. They're lucky the Pac-12 still exists because they are at a Pac-12, but you know, next year they won't be. Then next year the Pac-12, you know, won't exist for them.
I just say because they're still the top three in a Power in the ACC. Listen, the ACC wasn't what it used to be. But they're still top three. They're the third best. They finished third in the ACC. So I am saying in for Virginia. Now, next team, it's Rick Pitino and the St. John's Red Storm, 19-12 overall, 11-9 in the Big East. Justin, St. John's, in or out?
I have them last four in right now. Thursday could kind of pretty much secure a spot for them, but they're 9-11 versus the Q1 and twos. They're playing well down the stretch. That Michigan game hurts. I know that was like the second game of the year, but that's a bad Michigan team right now. I think the Pitino factor really helps them out here as well. And I like teams that are playing well down the stretch coming into tournament time. I know a bunch of those against DePaul and Georgetown, but they can win one here against St. Hall, the team that they haven't beaten yet, which, you know, will help. But, you know, then you also, you can kind of keep the UConn game competitive. I think they do enough just because, too, of Rick Pitino. I just, you know, we'll get to his son's team right here next. And, we kind of talked a little bit last week that, they had an opportunity. We may see those St. John's and Mexico squaring off against each other in Dayton.
We could. And for me, though, for St. John's, I got them in right now. But for me, the Seton Hall game is like a tournament game for them. I think if they win it, they're in. I think if they lose, they're out. To me, it's a tournament game. I think they have to beat Seton Hall. That'd be three losses to Seton Hall. So yes. I think they have to beat Seton Hall on Thursday to get in, and I think they do. And right now, I do have them in. I do have Rick Pitino's team in the field of 68. But going from Rick's team to Richard's team in New Mexico 22-9, 10-8 in the Mountain West. Justin, New Mexico in or out?
I have them first four out. I love this New Mexico team, but man, again, I just talked about it. They're not playing well down the stretch. They lost a bad game to Air Force. They've had opportunities against Utah State on the road in Appalachia. It's a team that they got to win a game here, one or two games here in the Mountain West. Their net's 28, which is pretty good. It's be tough to leave them out, but you know, I test down the stretcher. Just that Air Force game was inexcusable. No offense to the troops, but that's not Air Force does have a guy that I think could be an NBA pick. He's only a sophomore, so I don't know if he could declare or not. But they got to play an extra game here. I think they get to play Air Force in the first round, and then I think they do get Boise again. So they a Boise team that did beat them twice. So if they can get Boise, get to the semis, I think New Mexico's in. But they got some work to do here, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm gonna say out. I'm gonna say out because they're 10-8 in the Mountain. I mean, I know the Mountain West is pretty good.
It's a great league.
It's not great. It's probably the best non-Power Six league. I'll say that. Oh, absolutely. I'll say that. but they still have lost 8 games in that league. Okay, so I think they're close, but I would say I just don't like the 8 Mountain West losses. I'm not the biggest fan of that. So I am going to say out for Richard Pitino's team. Now moving on to the SEC and Texas A&M 18-13, 9-9 in the SEC. Justin, Texas A&M in or out?
I have them out right now. They have a ton of work to do. You had opportunities late in February to beat in Alabama. You know, you had a chance. You know, I know they beat Tennessee a couple of weeks before that, but then you go to Tennessee and you lose by, 25? And then you go, you have South Carolina at home. You can't get the deal done with them. And then you just beat a Georgia and Ole Miss team that are two bottom feeders. And then Mississippi State, you know, they're in, you know, as long as they don't stub their toe here. You know, they got to beat Ole Miss again. And then they got to get another one here to get to 21s. The 18-13 records, I don't like it. They're out. They did beat Iowa State, which could help. But, you know, I kind of schedule is a little bit better than it usually is for Buzz Williams. But the 18-13, I don't care that you play in the SEC. I don't like teams that are just above 500. You know, it's just kind of a turn off for me. So right now, still a little bit of work to do for that team.
For me, the fact they are in the top half of the SEC, I'm going to say in by a little bit. In by a little because they're in the top half of the SEC. 13. We say?
They're 18-13.
They're in the top. SEC is a great league. It's probably one of the probably the best league in the country, and they're in the top half of it. So I got to say in. I'm going to say in. They're my last teams in the tournament, but I got A&M in. I got A&M in at
18-13. Yeah. Now you got to wait till they're not. You know, they're not, I'll give Buzz credit. They did schedule a little bit better this year, but I don't care that you're in the SEC, Big 12, 18-13 just bugs me. 74, like records like that. I think those are NIT teams, but yeah, they're in the top half of the SEC. They've been so inconsistent for me. I just, you know, work to do.
Yep. All righty, we got Iowa, 8, another 18-13 team, 10-10 in the Big Ten. Iowa in or out?
I have them out right now. They're playing better down the stretch here. Payne Sanford's really kind of stepped up, and it's really shooting the ball well for them. They just had 2 opportunities the last couple of weeks to knock off an Illinois team, but they couldn't get it done, and they got some work to do here. But right now, they are out. They're 8-11 versus 2 quad 2 matrix here, but they win a couple games in the Big Ten tournament. They find themselves in. They'll have a third crack at Illinois if they could beat Ohio State here tomorrow. So on tomorrow, Wednesday. So yeah, Iowa first 4 out at the moment.
Yeah, I definitely say out. 10-10 in a conference instead of down year. I have them out as well. Colorado 22-9, 13-7 in the Pac-12. Justin, Colorado in or out?
I got them last 4 in. They're 7-4 against the quad 2, 2-5 against quad 1. Their net's 27, which I think might be a little high for them, but it's tough to keep a team out that's their net's that high. So they've won 6 straight. They've been very up and down because, like, you know, KJ Simpson has pretty much been their only guy that's, you know, rotation guy that's played pretty much every game this year. Like, they have Cody Williams, one of the best freshmen in the country. He's only played half their games.
What happened to him? Is Tristan he out for a while, Cody Williams? He's like actually like the number like 4 or 5 pick overall.
Yeah. I think he might be back for the big Pac-12 tournament. I think they're supposed to get a little bit healthier going into that thing if they can. I think that'd be huge. So yeah, like for me, Colorado's been very up and down, but it's just because guys been in or out and they're kind of starting to get healthy at the right time and they're playing well. So for me, I have them last 4 in.
Yeah, I have them in. I have Colorado in. I think, you know, even though Pac-12 is not good, they're still the third best team in the conference, so I have Colorado in. Last team, Wake Forest, 19-12 overall, 11-9 in the conference. I know they beat Duke a couple weeks ago, but Justin, in or out for Wake Forest?
I have them first 4 out right now. You know, they haven't. There's not a ton of meat there. They 2-1 against the quad 1. They're 6-6 against quad 2. But you just took a couple bad losses against the Notre Dame and Georgia Tech team. I've mentioned to you, I love both those Notre Dame, Georgia Tech coaches in the future of those programs. But right now, those aren't good losses. And, you know, they were not great away from home. I think they were 2-9. Like, that's not in an ACC league. That's not great. There's work to do there. I know Their bad downfall kind of happened when he called out Joe Lunardi for keeping him out of the tournament. And, you know, I'm not a Lunardi fan either, but, you know, he doesn't make the bracket. He just kind of projects it and Forbes went off on him, thinking they're a tournament team. So they got work, and they do have a head-to-head loss against Utah. I think that was in Myrtle. So that's early in the year, but that is something that could come into play for them. They got to win a couple this week in ACC tournament.
Yeah, I have them out. Fifth in the ACC. They're 11-9, almost 500 in the ACC. I have them out. So we agree on pretty much everyone. The ones we don't agree on are Indiana State. You're a big advocate for Indiana State.
Of course, I love that team.
We don't agree with Virginia. You don't like Virginia because of their style of play, and you're not a fan of A&M. You actually, I have it 5-5. I have five teams in, five teams out. You have four teams in. I think you have Seton Hall, Indiana State, St. John's, and Colorado in, and the rest out. I have Seton Hall, Virginia, St. John's, A&M, and Colorado. I got those teams in. So it should be interesting to see what happens on Selection Sunday. But we will wrap up talking about who should be the last number one seed between Tennessee, UNC, North Carolina, and Arizona. I think it's pretty obvious it's Tennessee. They're the number one seed in the best conference in college basketball. They got one of the best players in college basketball. I think it's pretty obvious that Tennessee is going to be the number one seed with Houston, UConn, and Purdue.
Yeah, I'm with you with Tennessee. If they win the SEC, they got to get it. Yeah, we mentioned the SEC, Tennessee lost three out of the four games. They played four top 15 teams. They won three of those. And then if they go back here, win the SEC title, I think they get it. I wouldn't be shocked Tennessee drops one and North Carolina slides in if they win the ACC and they get that fourth number one. I wouldn't be surprised, but yeah, I'm with you. I think Tennessee's going to get it. Arizona, I think after they lost USC, I think they could kiss that goodbye, but they might still get that two in the West though. So they might not hate it because they could still really wind up there if they win the Pac-12. So wouldn't it be horrible spot for them, but yeah, I think Tennessee right now is in the driver's seat for that last number one, as it should be.
Yes, and they should be. They're number one seed in the SEC, got one of the best players in the conference. I think Tennessee should definitely get that last number one seed. But that's going to wrap it up this week for Sports Talk with RNJ. I'm Justin Afrio. I'm Steve Risser. We will be back next week talking everything March Madness. We will be doing, we'll be previewing the entire tournament next week. So make sure you tune in for that and have a great weekend, everyone.
Hello, my name is Joe McGuire. I'm the president of Clovercrest Media Group. And here at CMG, we have a wide variety of podcasts, including sports shows like Keys to the City, The Roll Call, Throwing Jabs, All Four Downs, and Jawing About the G-Men. And great true crime shows like Sticky Meek, Crimes and Consequences, Ivy League Murders, and Bird, The Unsolved Murder of David Eichmann. You can find all these podcasts and so much more by visiting clovercrestmedia.com.